Welcome to episode 71. I'm Stuart McCullough, I'm the CEO of VHAA. And starting with this week's industrial roundup, and in particular with community health. This week we're scheduled to meet with the Health Workers Union to discuss the draft agreement for health and allied managers and administrative employees. Thanks to those members who have provided feedback to the draft that we posted through the VHAA community app, we look forward to getting feedback from the HWU and concluding the drafting process as soon as possible so that agreement can go out to ballot. For our health service members, there's a meeting of the dental reference group scheduled for Monday. There's also a meeting of the biomedical engineers reference group scheduled for that day. On Tuesday, we'll be in Warrnambool conducting another of our series of the Doctors EBA forums. And there's also a rural and regional HR/IR managers meeting on Wednesday, along with an SDPPWG meeting for allied health professionals, as well as an SDPPWG meeting for health and allied managers and admin. As always, all of our activities are summarised as they happen through the VHAA community app. And that's it for this week's Industrial Roundup. Welcome to the Weekly Update, where we go in-depth with a particular subject. And joining me for this week's discussion is Senior Workplace Relations Consultant Daniel Pullen. Welcome, Daniel.
Thank you, Stuart.
Daniel, would you be good enough to reveal the clue for this week's discussion?
Of course.
So for the benefit of those who are listening rather than watching this podcast, could you describe the item?
It's a shiny disco ball.
That is correct. But I've got to ask you another question. Based on that clue, what would you say that the subject for our discussion today is?
I'll preface that by saying that this has been a clue that I've been given before.
Really?
It has been.
In what context?
I can't remember.
Good.
But I presume it's not the same topic. Look, a shiny disco ball.
Let me walk you through it. So when do you see a disco ball?
At a nightclub, at a disco.
What time of day?
In the evening.
And if you were working at that time of day, what's the most likely thing that would be happening?
You'd be probably wishing you weren't working.
Daniel, that's true, but also incorrect. You'd be working overtime.
Uh-huh.
Which brings us to today's subject for the podcast, overtime for doctors in training. So I'll start off by way of a little bit of a confession. I've been a little bit confused about some of the messages going around about this particular subject.
Why is that?
Well, normally our podcasts focus on things that have changed. But in this instance, I don't recall that things have changed.
Look, there's no need to be confused and your memory serves you correctly. We're here today to clarify the correct application of the ordinary hours of work clause in conjunction with the overtime clause for doctors in training.
So we're doing a little bit of myth-busting today. Mm. That is, we're clarifying the arrangements with regards to the current but expired doctors in training agreement as well as the proposed agreement that's awaiting approval.
That's correct.
And for the benefit of those who are playing along at home today, who wish to follow the podcast with a copy of the expired agreement in front of them, what are the relevant clause references that we'll be going to?
So we'll be discussing with reference to the expired Doctors in Training Agreement, clause 25.1, with respect to hours per week, specifically subclause 25.1.1. and clause 32, which deals with overtime, specifically subclause 32.1. and 32.2.
And for those people who want to just check that against the proposed agreement, that is the one that's been voted up, it has been lodged and is awaiting approval, what are the relevant clauses to refer to there?
So with respect to the proposed Doctors in Training Agreement, clause 33.1, which deals with ordinary hours of work per week, specifically subclause 33.1A and B, and clause 36, which deals with overtime, specifically subclauses 36.1 and 36.2.
So without putting too fine a point on it, let's start with averaging.
Mm.
And in particular, the ability to average ordinary hours of work for a period of up to 4 weeks. Is it correct that this ability is unchanged?
That's correct. So a health service can average a doctor's ordinary hours of work across a period of up to 4 weeks. In the case of a doctor that is not a registrar, this would mean 152 hours rostered over a four-week period. In the case of a registrar, this would mean 172 hours over a four-week period to accommodate for their rostered training time.
And worth emphasising that 20 of those 172 hours are the rostered training time. So how does overtime interact with that scenario?
So the agreement prescribes that overtime is payable, and when I say agreement, I mean both the expired and the proposed agreement, provides that overtime is payable for working rostered hours in excess of ordinary hours pursuant to the hours of work clause, or authorised hours in excess of rostered hours.
So I suspect it would be useful for our discussion if we go through an example.
I'd agree.
So if a health service rostered 152 ordinary hours of work for an HMO over a four-week period and the doctor didn't perform rostered hours in excess of those rostered ordinary hours and didn't perform authorised unrostered overtime, would that HMO incur overtime?
I think it's easier to reflect this visually.
I am a visual person.
But I do apologise for those of our listeners or those of our audience that are listening while travelling maybe to or from work. So in the example on the screen, the health service issues a roster. The roster provides 66 hours in pay period one, which spans a fortnight, and 86 hours in pay period two, which spans a fortnight. The doctor does not perform work that entitles them to overtime in accordance with Clause 36, which deals with overtime in the proposed agreement. In this example, the total hours worked over the four-week period equal 152 hours, which equates to 38 hours per week when averaged over that four-week period.
So what would the doctor be paid for these two pay periods across that four-week period?
So in this example, the doctor should be paid at the ordinary hourly rate for all hours worked.
All right, so that's interesting. We've had some members contact us to advise that they had heard something different to that, specifically suggesting that any hours worked above 38 hours should be paid at overtime rates, despite the ability of a health service to average over a four-week period.
Look, we disagree with that advice.
I think we should put it more highly than that. That advice is wrong.
Correct.
I understand that the parties did agree to the insertion of a new subclause in the proposed agreement to address some issues raised by the AMA with respect to compliance.
That's correct. So during bargaining, AMA Victoria asserted that where overtime was incurred in accordance with Clause 32 of the expired agreement, some health services had adopted a practice of not paying overtime until the doctor had exceeded 152 hours of work, and that was inclusive of ordinary hours worked and overtime. In that four-week period, or in the case of registrars, 172 hours of work, which is inclusive of training time. So we agreed with AMA Victoria that this was an incorrect application of the expired agreement.
So a practice had developed at a small number of health services to defer the payment of overtime in a way that was incorrect with the current expired agreement, and we've clarified that with the new one. So I understand that in preparing that clarification that we engaged with our reference group, and what did the parties then agree? Was it an appropriate response to that issue?
Look, that's correct. On that basis, the parties agreed on the insertion of subclause 33.5 into the proposed agreement, and that subclause is titled Averaging Does Not Apply to Overtime.
So that is a reference then to that you don't average out the overtime. That's different to the fact that you can average ordinary hours over a four-week period, and that change is then intended to give effect to what was already to the status quo, as opposed to result in a change. So just take us through the clause and what it provides.
So the clause provides, again at clause 33.5 of the proposed agreement, that averaging of hours under this clause must not be utilised to reduce or avoid an entitlement prescribed in subclause 36.2.
So just to emphasise again, I understand that the introduction of that change is to reinforce and not to alter the status quo with respect to the proper averaging of ordinary hours over a four-week period.
So that's correct. So we actively sought to retain the entitlement to arrange ordinary hours of work of up to a period of 4 weeks.
So what does the clause actually mean?
So the intention of the clause was to ensure that where overtime was incurred in accordance with Clause 36 of the proposed agreement, that the applicable overtime payment must be reflected in the time and wages record and paid in that applicable pay period and not carried over into the following pay period.
So just going back to our earlier example, if the same HMO was asked to perform authorised hours in excess of the rostered hours by picking up an additional shift, would the HMO incur overtime?
So again, it's easier to reflect this visually. So in the example on the screen, the health service has issued a roster, and the roster provides for 66 hours in pay period one, which spans a fortnight, within which the doctor performed an additional 10-hour shift. And with respect to pay period two, they've been rostered for 86 hours, and within that 86-hour fortnight, the doctor performed an additional 2 hours at the end of one of their rostered shifts.
So what would the doctor be paid in pay period one?
So in this example, the doctor should be paid 66 hours at their ordinary hourly rate, plus 2 hours overtime at 150% of their ordinary hourly rate, and 8 hours of overtime at 200% of their ordinary hourly rate.
So what about pay period two?
So following pay period two, the doctor should be paid 86 hours at their ordinary hourly rate, plus 2 hours of overtime at 150% of their ordinary hourly rate.
So Daniel, thank you for clarifying those provisions. The key messages for members to take away is that the ability to average over a 4-week period for ordinary hours has not changed. However, if you were one of those health services that had that practice of averaging overtime in a way that was at odds with the last agreement, what should those members do?
So we'd encourage those members to review not just the proposed agreement but the expired agreement and ensure that they are compliant with respect to those two, the clauses in both agreements. We'd be more than welcome to for them to raise queries, you know, through our query advice line or on the VHA community app for assistance in ensuring that they're compliant.
Terrific. All right, so the message there is if you're not sure if you're compliant, to let us know and we'll talk our way through it. Fantastic. I think there's no better way to end this podcast than with a little bit of suitable music as we spin the disco ball. Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you, Stuart.